In your experience, how did you at the time see this balance between professional and political representation? And how has this interplay been at your time between the political and the professional dimensions?
There's always been a balance to this. And, you know, I remember... some of the big challenges that we had were especially in Australia, where the management of protected areas in Australia is a state responsibility. World Heritage is a federal responsibility because it's an international convention. And so if the federal government wanted to nominate a site and the state would use it as a way of getting squeezing money out of the state. And sometimes the state didn't want it to be put on the World Heritage List because they wanted to harvest, like Kakadu or something. They wanted to get uranium out of it. So they didn't want it to be on the World Heritage List. But I think that as money becomes a bigger issue with World Heritage, then it becomes more political. And we're seeing this today in China, for example. But in those days, and maybe still, Australia, it was a real important political issue in terms of the relationship between the federal government and the state. And so one of the sites that I was responsible for recommending was the Western Tasmania Wilderness Forest. And the federal government had to pay, you'll find the exact figures when you look this up somewhere, but it was like $140 million of Australian dollars to compensate the state for the lack of income they were going to get from logging in this wilderness area. So, yeah, that's politically pretty important. That didn't play out at the convention. That played out back home. Mm-hmm. And the chair of the committee at that time was Ralph Slatcher, mm-hmm. who was a scientist, but he was also a politician. He was the UNESCO ambassador from Australia.
There's another interesting story that should be in the history. We were asked by the U.S. National Park Service to send a mission to look at a gold mine proposal on the Yellowstone River that was upstream from Yellowstone. And so we did it. And we submitted the report to the U.S. National Park Service. We didn't publicize it. It was a contract that we had to give them advice, so we gave it to them. And the U.S. Congress went berserk about this. And, this is the United Nations trying to determine our policy for us. And all we did was give advice, and they threatened to put a grandfather clause on all the World Heritage sites. And it was an incredible mess. It really got involved at state-level politics, but it was a very objective report by three chairs of the Commission on Protected Areas. So it was Bing Lucas from New Zealand, Hal Eidsvik, who was a senior policy advisor at Parks Canada and before he became the chair, and who was the first World Heritage guy from IUCN, the one who preceded me, and Adrian Phillips from the UK. And so these were very highly qualified and neutral people giving sound advice. And the advice was, bad idea. Which I look at that and I say, yes, you're absolutely right. It is a bad idea to have a gold mine upstream on the Yellowstone River that then goes into the national park. Because whenever you have a gold mine, you end up with a lot of effluents from the mining. And so it would have been a big problem. So I think it was good advice, but it shows the politics that can affect virtually any World Heritage site.